Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. This time we're going back to the war years, that's World War II, of course, for a couple of programs that were put out for the soldiers on the Armed Forces Radio Service back then. We'll start off with an episode with Dinah Shore, Fats Waller, and Abbott and Costello, and we'll follow that up with an episode from starring Evelyn Knight and Dick Powell. And that one's from 1949, so here we go.
USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over, over there. Okay there, gang, here's old man Command Performance with his children of radio, stage, and screen doing their stuff in answer to your letters to Command Performance, care of Armed Forces Radio in Los Angeles, USA. And telling you, men and women in the service of Uncle Sam and the United Nations, that our motto is, you write 'em, we answer 'em, till the day the Axis answers that knock on its own front door. Tonight, your old clambake is star happy in a big way. We've put on extra help in the giggle department, and we're hauling away another load of swell music. And catching the opening kickoff to run wide around all APO and FPO numbers, lugging a tune called Shoo Shoo Baby, is that singing sweetheart of all of you, the gal from down Magnolia Way, Dinah Shore.
Shoo, 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 baby. Shoo, 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 baby. Shoo, 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 baby. Your daddy's off to the seven seas. Bye, 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 baby. Bye, 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 baby. Oh, don't cry, baby. When I come back, we'll live a life of ease. Seems kind of tough now to say goodbye this way. But Daddy's gotta be rough now so that he can be free to you another day. Bye, 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 baby. Oh, don't cry, baby. Shoo, shoo, baby. Your daddy's off to the seven
you fellas. And a rapid gander at those command performance love letters. That is, we love to read them. Hattie, 939, and the Skookoo Punchers in Hut 29. Cornfell, what's a Skookoo? Hello, Charlie Fulter, and everybody in Alaska, and Sergeant White and Freed at 986. At Navy 131 CB, Leo McElling says, please play my favorite song someday at 11:45 a.m. Well, sure enough, Leo, but one little thing, you left out the name of the song. Yes, sir, fellas, your old hayloft favorites doing Down by the Railroad Tracks, Lula, Bell, and Scotty. Now, blow that whistle, Sappy. Let's go down by the railroad
tracks. Here we go.
I once knew a gal named Lulabelle. She thought a lot of me, but for some cause her family and I could not agree.
And if he called there at my home, was sure to start a fight. So for that reason, we would take a walk each Wednesday night.
Down by the railroad track, down by the railroad track,
I'd hold her hand
and I'd chaw gum down by the railroad track.
I courted her for 7 months, and then one summer's day, her pappy found it out, and then there was the dues to pay.
He said, young man, come here to me, I want a word with you.
And where do you reckon I found myself when finally I did come to?
Word.
Down by the railroad track, down by the railroad track.
The birds were singing merrily down by the railroad track.
Forgot to come in, didn't they? Settled down with a family of our own.
Upon our wall there hangs a sign that says, God bless our home.
Both she and I take walks each night,
but it's up and down the floor.
Trying to get those kids to sleep, we never walk anymore.
Down by the railroad track, down by the railroad track.
Somebody else is there tonight, down by the railroad track.
Thank you, Lulabelle and Scotty. Also in the Much Obliged department, thanks to the 370th Army Air Forces Band of the San Bernardino Air Service Command for your continued service to command performance. Wonderful music. Now a quick hello to Red and Caddy in Glasgow, Watson and Navy 17. Jack Kaufman and the ATC out at 636, and Duckaday and the post engineers at 938. Sparks Robertson and the boys on one of His Majesty's motor launches. Love to the four musketeers, Joe, Ollie, Curry, and Frank, and everybody else on the Persian Gulf. And how about the gang in Greenland who write, please send us hot music, a heating pad, hot buttered rum, and Betty Grable. And Command Performance gets plenty of letters, too, that say this. Ask the one and only Fast, your feet's too big, Walla, to sashay up to the Ivories and spread himself across a couple of minutes of the stuff he's made famous. Okay, fellas, here he is. Fast Walla!
Hey, now, look at here. Who's that walking around in Florida? Sounds like a couple of yard dogs. Must be. Well, spent all the man a table for two. There was four of us, Leo, big feet and you. From your ankles up, you sure on me. But from that down's exactly too much feet.
Can't your feet too big? Can't stand because your waist's too big.
Say, I can't tolerate you. Cause your feet's too big. Join in, choir, join in, join in, yes. What? Where'd you get on?
Running out of your gal, she loves you, thinks you're nice.
Says you got everything to take it to paradise. Ain't that a pillow?
She likes your loving, she likes your ring.
But man, oh man, them things is too big.
Them things too big. Can't stand you, cause your feet you need to be. Hey, I can't tolerate you. In fact, I hate you because there's something radically wrong with your peddling extremities. Where'd you get them? Where'd you get them? One never knows, do one? Steve, you got some more coming up. Look out. It's a handful of keys. Look out now.
Master Percy J. Perkins in Liverpool, for Argon's Wilmo Ranchi at 726, Staff Sergeant Daniel J. Burns at 527, the WAF on Balloon Detail over in Barrie, Norman Hapell and the RAF in Cambridgeshire, for all of you in Italy, North Africa, on Sicily, down in the Caribbean, and up in the Fur-lined Bathtub Company, it's a command performance for the lovely young star of Universal Pictures, singing Dobbin in a Wagon of Hay from her new flicker, Moonlight in Vermont. Gloria G.
Every freckle-faced boy and his gondola of joy are taking a holiday. They're out on a ride with Dobbin and a wagon of hay. By the light of the moon, a guitar and a tune, they go on their merry way. Through Cricket Lane with Dobbin and a wagon of hay. There's a wishing star to fill a heart's desire. Oh, how da-dee-dum. It's fun to harmonize around the fire. Before you know it, it's time to go jogging back home. Take the merry mobile, ride the old Ferris wheel, or go a long romance there. The gang still declares that nothing compares with Dobbin and a wagon of hay. La 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 la. Oh, oh, oh. Da-dee-da. La 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 la. Oh, oh, oh. Before you know it, time to go jogging back home. Take the merry mobile, ride the old Ferris wheel, or go along romance fair. The gang still declares that nothing compares with Dobbin and a wagon of hay.
story, Eugene. That was lovely. Next, fellas, another great moment on command performance. From all over the world, letters have poured in on the subject of Jerry Colonna. They say, why don't you let Jerry express the true Colonna? Colonna the artistic, sensitive, operatic artist. He can sing right along with Lawrence Melchior or Richard Crooks, so please give him a chance to do something fine. Well, these letters have made a change in Colonna. Tonight he drops the cloak of comedy and dons the royal regalia of the Metropolitan. Command Performance proudly presents the new Professor Jerry Colonna.
If your heart never could yield to me, then I'd rather have nothing at all. But please don't bring your lips close to my cheek. Don't want to get our mustaches tangled, do we? Don't smile or I'll be lost beyond recall. No teeth. The kiss in your eyes, the touch of your hand makes me weep. And my heart may grow dizzy and fall. Big son of a gun, isn't it? And if I fail, your call, I would be caught in the undertow. So you see, I've got to say no.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
All right, but I'll hate myself in the morning.
In everybody's life, there's at least one experience that stands out as a milestone. And we have a few milestones of our own here on Command Performance. One being that Bud Abbott and Lou Costello in their famous baseball skit. A year or so ago, we staged Command in Washington, D.C. Bud and Lou did the baseball sketch there, and Congress so approved that the crazy thing nearly became a law. And because so many of you have laid down the law for a repeat on this wacky piece of business, here are those two wacky characters, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Yes.
Now, all right, look.
How's everything? Everything all right?
No arguments tonight.
Well, I understand.
No arguments.
We don't offer nothing. Well, I understand a soda sales means everybody, we're going to have a big baseball team.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes,
well, I'm down here to join your team. I understand you're the manager.
That's me.
Well, now that I'm down here to join your team, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to them.
Well, naturally, I'll introduce you to the boys and a regular bunch of boys we have. You know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
Give me funny names.
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and Daffy Dean and...
Oh, I'm their cousin.
Who are you?
Goofy.
Goofy, I am. Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, What's on second? I don't know's on third.
That's what I want to find out, brother.
I say, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
Who?
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 The guy on first.
That's his name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now look, my friend. Now, don't get excited, will you? Don't get excited.
I'm not excited.
All I want to know is, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second base?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
One base at a time. I'm not mixing up anybody.
That's what you're trying
I'm
to
only
do.
Asking you, what's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking.
Third base.
You mentioned his name.
I mentioned his
name.
If I mentioned a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Never mind first. What's the guy's name on third?
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Have you got an outfield?
Why, natural.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask.
I just thought I'd tell you.
Now tell me who's playing left field.
No, who's playing first?
I don't know. He's on third. Left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
Who's in center field?
No, who's on first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. We'll get out of it, don't you?
Oh, don't you worry about that.
Have you got a pitcher on a team?
Oh, sure. Every team must have a pitcher.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow? You're going to tell me who's pitching.
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know, what's the pitcher's name?
What's on second?
I don't know, third base. Have you got a catcher?
Sure.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
A couple of days on the team.
Well, I can.
I'm a catcher, too.
I know that.
Now, I'll get behind the plate. I'll do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow throws the ball, and the guy up bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy on the first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That's all you have to do.
Is to throw it to first base.
So?
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally. So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
I know, no. Wait a minute. You throw the ball the first base.
And who gets it?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
You do nothing of the kind. You throw the ball the first base.
And who gets it?
Naturally.
I throw the ball the first base. Now naturally has the ball.
Who's got it?
Naturally.
No. Who has got the ball?
Naturally.
No.
Who has it?
That's right. Naturally. Now we're getting crazy.
Ain't we? Now, all I do is throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball so the guy runs to second.
Yes.
Now, who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a damn.
What was that? I didn't get that.
I said, I don't give a damn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Get him out of here!
Thank you, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Ow, those boys can make even the most complicated things sound confusing. And fellas, was who on first and what on second and why on third, they forced me around the home plate with one of those winning tunes you loved when you hung around home plate. Incidentally, there's a pile of letters on my table at home. You know who they're from, and I hope I'm answering them with a song. It's the famous Symphony in Blue, Duke Ellington's Mood Indigo. I'm so blue. Now I know you're gone, and I can't go on without you. No, you've never been blue. You ain't been blue. No, no, no.
should have said goodbye. In the evening when the lights are low, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Ain't got nobody who cares about me. I'm just as blue can be. When I get that mood indigo, I could lay me down and die.
It cleans up the command performance table, flicker and a whistle. We hope the stuff we serve sort of hits the spot with you guys all over the world, and we hope you'll put your elbows on our table again next week. We don't know what we'll have till we open up your letters, for that's the way it is with command performance. It's a half hour of potluck, but every minute of it is good home cooking. And we'll be cooking up a new mess each and every week till you come home again. This is Dinah sending thanks from all of us and love from your loved ones in the USA. So long, fellas.
And this is Ken Carpenter with a closing reminder to send your request to your own show, Command Performance, care of Armed Forces Radio in Los Angeles, USA. Command Performance is arranged in cooperation with the Hollywood Victory Committee to entertain the fighting men and women of the United Nations. This program was produced by the Armed Forces Radio Service. You seem to enjoy our version recently of that typical soundtrack that has come galloping out of your TV sets this fall. So here then is our Western hero, Bang Gunley. Now, that is just the soundtrack. No peeking at the picture now.
The Eating Corporation of America presents Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshall Field.
Morning.
Odie?
You Bang Gunley?
That's right.
Well, let's ride on out. out and look over the spread. Okay. Hey, boy, get up. Somebody sure cut through that fence, all right. Yep. Somebody sure cut through that fence, all right.
Back to our action-packed story in just a moment, folks. But first, a word from the newest member of the Eating Corporation of America's breakfast family, Puffed Grass.
Puffed grass, eat puffed grass. Chock full of vitamins and chlorophyll, too. What's good for Flossie?
Mmm.
It's good for me and you. Puffed grass!
Hi, boys and girls. This is Jet Crash. I'm a test pilot. Believe you me, I couldn't break through the sound barrier every morning. If I didn't start off my day with a stomach. Full of puffed grass. $100 million cows can't be wrong. The only breakfast food containing chlorophyll. Two. Yes, when us test pilots are all alone up there, pulling out of a sonic dive on the verge of blacking out, with a pull of 9 G's on our body, I can't tell you what a comfort it is to have that extra chlorophyll protection. Two. It well makes me the most popular test pilot of the annual Lockheed prom. Yes, you can spot the puffed grass eaters in any crowd. They got a green mouth.
There goes a boy with a green mouth. He's a puffed grass eater. Puffed grass.
Tune in next week for another action-packed adventure of Bang Gunley.
Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshal Field, riding east, west, north, and south. You can tell he stands for justice by the way he draws a gun and the proud look about his green mouth.
Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there.
Hi,
Hiya, gang. This is Howard Petrie hauling up the curtain on another command performance. Half an hour of top talent and tunes, all ordered in your kind letters to Old Command, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And running the show tonight is a gorgeous gal. She's what you'd call a real GI type of gal. Wherever she goes, you hear guys saying, gee, I'd like to meet her. Gee, I'd like to take her out. And here she is, Evelyn Knight.
It's a big, wide, wonderful world you live in. When you're in love, you're a master of all you survey. You're a gay Santa Claus. There's a brave new star-spangled sky above you. When you're in love, you're a hero, a Nero, Apollo, the Wizard of Oz. You've a kingdom, power and glory. The old, old, oldest of stories is new. Through you built your Rome in just one day. Life is mystic, a midsummer's night you live in, a Turkish delight, you're in heaven. It's swell when you're really in love. Life is mystic, a midsummer's night you live in, a Turkish delight. You're in heaven. It's swell when you're really in love.
Thank you much. And gang, let's get on to filling orders from Seaman First Class Hank Halsey, PFC Billy Myers, and a flock of other guys and gals by bringing on a grand singing type feller. Star lately of many a super duper crime opera. We've had a lot of petitions asking him to sing once more, and here he is to fill those orders, Dick Powell.
Thank you. You know, Evelyn, once in a lifetime, someone comes along who's charming and gracious, perfection itself. Someone who has brains, talent, good looks.
Gee.
Someone who's irresistible and lovable that you'd like to take into your arms and squeeze.
Golly.
Well, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Well, this boy was like a great positive station identification. Now, Evelyn.
Hello, Mr. Powell. I'm Ruth Parrott. Are you doing anything right now?
Not a thing, honey, not a thing. Shall we say dinner and a show and then perhaps a midnight snack at Chasen's? Or, if you prefer, a little midnight Chasen's at snacks?
Oh, goodness, no, Mr. Powell. I gotta get back to the Broadway department store.
You were there earlier?
Yeah. I was buying nylons from a beautiful sales girl and my husband was getting notions. Now I gotta go back and find my husband.
Very well, madam. I'll hold that package of liverwurst for you.
Wait a minute, Mr. Powell. That's my baby.
Oh. And a cute one, too. Yeah. Is it a boy or is it the expensive kind?
He's a boy.
I see. Takes after his father.
Here, Mr. Powell, you hold him.
You want me to hold him?
Sure.
Oh, all right. I only hope the safety catches on. Oh, isn't that cute? Sucking his thumb.
Oh, those childhood habits don't worry me. We outgrow them. Why, Mr. Powell, when I was a child, I used to think everything with stripes on it was peppermint candy.
You did?
Yeah. I was 19 years old before I stopped chewing on barber poles. There. I'll be back soon, my little Rover.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold everything. You named your little boy Rover? Why that?
His father always wanted a dog. Mr. Powell, his father really adores little Rover. He's already enrolled him at Vassar.
At Vassar? That's a girls' school.
Yeah, but he wants him to have the things he never had. Well, don't look now, Mr. Powell, but I must be off.
Yes, you certainly must be.
Kitchy-coo. See, Mr. Powell, if the baby starts to cry, just say kitchy-coo and he'll stop.
Just kitchy, kitchy-coo?
Just one kitchy, please. We don't want to spoil him.
But, madam, one question. How long... Oh, well. Kitchy-coo. Gee, it works. Kitchy-coo. Maybe I should have tried that on your mother, huh?
Say, Dick, what have you got there?
I got a baby.
Oh, come on. I wasn't gone that long.
Your mother went out to look for her husband. Oh, fine. But your mother left a code book. I'd love to know what's on your mind. No. Kitchy-coo. Kitchy-coo, kitchy-coo. Kitchy-coo. Kitchy-coo, 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 kitchy-coo.
Oh, it's unhappy, Dodd-lovin'.
Yeah. Dodd-lovin', itchy-coo. Itchy-coo, Dodd-lovin', or I'll beat your stupid brains out.
Dick, you're beginning to look tired.
Oh, those kitchens aren't so bad, but gad, those coos wear me down.
Say, you having trouble, Dick? Hey, what do you got there? A baby.
No, that's what I like about you, Howard. You have a remarkable grasp of the obvious.
Howard, we can't figure out a way to make the baby stop crying.
Well, now, let me see. Well, Professor Powell, I find this child is suffering from an acute case of appositional cyanosis of the posterior oblongata. Say nothing of opulent dimagnetism.
And what does all that mean?
His safety pin is open. See? Oh, I love babies. I'm going to study baby raising till I'm known as Petrie the Chump. Champ. Ah, the coot it till fell were.
Oh.
Dick, he's worried about something.
Evelyn, let's get out of here.
Hey, wait, hold on now.
Howard, we'll see you.
Howard, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Drat this California weather. I didn't know we'd reach the end of the dry season so soon. Hey, Powell, take back your old faithful.
No, Howard, you can't quit now.
Oh, Evie, you take him, will you?
But, Howard, you wanted to learn all about babies, become the champ baby raiser?
Yeah, don't you want to be known as Petrie the Champ?
Champ? Kitties just call me Mr. Fisk. It's time to retire.
After a sketch involving babies, that reminds me it's time for a change.
Uh-huh. So after a lowbow to Mother Ruth Parrott and a cute little baby named Leon Ledoux, Evelyn takes music in hand to charm us with what, Evelyn?
Well, for all the customers at Oliver General Hospital down Georgia way, it's a modern version of a Gilbert and Sullivan classic, Tidwillow.
On a tree by a river, a little town kid sang willow, tid willow, tid willow. And I said to him, Dickie Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tid willow, tid willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, Tidwillow, Tidwillow, Tidwillow. Tidwillow.
out on that bough, singing willow, tidwillow, tidwillow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, willow, tidwillow. He sobbed and he sighed and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Oh, willow. Tidwillow. Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't Tidwillow. That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, Tidwillow. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why, though I probably shall not exclaim as I die. Tidwillow.
Wonderful, Evelyn. When it comes to dishing out a tune, you're an expert.
Thank you, Dick. But I can't say the same for you as a babysitter.
Oh, yeah? Well, I know a couple I'd like to sit on.
Why, Richard. You don't like babies? I didn't think you were that unkind.
No, I just don't relish the idea of being a babysitter. I tried it once.
What happened?
Well, just settle back and I'll tell you. My friends went out one night, and I acted as a sitter to their youngest little boy, a mischievous critter. I knew that over him I'd have no power, but it was all right with me for 50 cents an hour. Around 9 p.m., when I thought he was sleeping, I heard him on the staircase, and there he was a-peeping. He came tumbling down, shouting,
"Hey there, Pappy. Tell me a story, something spicy and snappy."
"Okay," I said, and on my knee he did clamber, and when he said which story, he said,
"Forever Amber."
Oh, John. Hot cha. The book about Amber. Now, wait a minute. That's the book for kids. There ain't no pictures in it. When I looked at his face and I saw him frown, I figured I'd tell him the story, but I'd toned it down.
Oh, my name is Amber, and I lived long ago. There wasn't a man who wasn't my beau. I was the talk of England amongst the men and maids. What'd they expect me to do? Play with razor blades?
Poor old Amber. She didn't get the best of it.
Don't make up your mind till you hear the rest of it.
The first man I knew I can dimly remember was a chap I met on a day in December. I had my new look dress on, the color of a thistle. He saw my new look and he gave me the whistle. He ogled me with his eyes, then he ogled me some more. He was the ugliest creature I ever saw.
Ha-cha! 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 Ha-cha!
I'm a royal duke, Amber. I'd do anything for you.
What can you do for me that does can't do?
I can put you in pictures, my charming little pet.
Don't give me that. Pictures ain't invented yet.
And I'll make you my duchess if you'll marry me today.
I need time to think it over. Okay.
So Amber married the duke and then she left him in a huff.
It's pretty dull. Let's get to the funny stuff.
The next man I met was a bloke named Blackie. He had sailed the world around from Suez to Nagasaki.
I'll come into my arms. I got your number, Amber. We'll go to all the high spots and we'll rumba and samba.
Yeah, I'll put on a dress that brings out my eyes of blue.
I saw that dress. It brings my eyes out, too. Hot-cha! 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 Hot-cha!
Kick.
He thinks he's dynamite.
Yeah, one big stick. Is he in the story? He sure sounds wacky.
Never mind. Let's get on with Amber and Blackie.
Look out for me, Amber. I leave him and love him.
You got many women?
I got a million of them.
Well, you got me now, and you'll have no more. Who do you think you are? Artie Shaw?
So they went out seven and they made the rounds till they came to a place called the Fox and the Hound.
You mean something happened there on which they hadn't reckoned?
Yeah, this was the hangout of King Charles II.
Blackie, what's wrong? What's wrong?
The king's coming in here. I can tell by that song.
The king himself? Why, it must be fate. I gotta make sure my lipstick's straight.
The king is here, our royal king. Arise, ye lads, and let the trumpets ring.
I'm King Charles. Who are you, my little minx?
My name is Amber, and your trumpet player stinks.
What wit, what sparkle, what beauty, what verve.
Take your hands off me, King. You got a lot of nerve.
Come, my little pet. I'm not accustomed to mockery.
Stop smiling at me, then. I can't stand your false crockery.
Mind your tongue, wench. You forget that I'm royal.
Ah, go soak your head in a barrel of oil.
After soaking his head, the king returned, but Amber was gone.
I'll bet the king was burned.
Yeah, he issued a decree that because she had vanished, Amber was henceforth and forever banished.
What did Amber do? Did she go away?
Yeah, she sailed for Hollywood, California.
When she got in town, did she cause a panic?
So much so, she was called Bazaral Danic.
Hot chop! Hot chop! Hot chop! Hot chop!
Guy that's built like a barrel.
That's Danic himself. First name Zarrell.
So you're little Amber. I've heard about you.
Well, whatever you heard, tain't true, tain't true.
Well, I'll let you prove it. I'll put you on the screen. But remember, sister, you gotta keep it clean. I should have had my head examined what this is costing. So don't do anything that'll be banned in Boston.
Who'll be my leading man?
Cornell Wilde.
That's putting it mild.
So they made the picture Amber, and it sure caused a roar.
Well, I saw the picture. What are they roaring for?
You saw the picture? What did you think of the plot?
Well, the way you tell it, it ain't so hot.
Off to the woodshed, we'll take an excursion.
You gonna spank me, Dick?
No. I want to hear your version.
Telling Richard. And now, gang, Dick has a brand new Meredith Wilson number at hand. You know, Dick introduced another Meredith Wilson tune some years back, and it went to the top in a hurry. It was called You and I. And now he's introducing another one, which will probably shoot onward and upward the same way.
Well, I hope so, for Meredith's sake. And so, for PFC Rochelle, Seaman First Class Rudy Wood, and all the gang at the Canal Zone, here's Meredith's beautiful Every Day.
Every day, sure as a sunrise, there's somebody falling in love. And every evening, by the very same token, vows are whispered that are never broken. Every night, sure as the sunset, there's danger of you falling too. In fact, I hold you in my arms till you do. Every day. sunset, there's danger of you falling too. In fact, I'll hold you in my arms till you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Connie. Well, Evelyn, what's next?
Next, Richard, I want to present a young man who's really going places in the entertainment business. You saw him in Three Godfathers, following in the footsteps of his father, whom we all loved so well. It's Harry Carey, Jr.
Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you very much.
Harry, we're very happy to have you aboard, and we're going to put you right to work. So if you'll slip into the character of a young sailor named Jimmy Beale, Howard Petrie will set the scene.
Right, Evelyn. Tonight, Command Performance proudly presents Harry Carey, Jr. with Ed Begley and Ray Rowe in The Liberty Bell.
This is a story about something that happened to me. I haven't told it to anyone before because, well, I just didn't think they'd believe it. I'll admit that the circumstances are a bit unusual, but just the same, well, you judge for yourself. I know you'll understand. It happened when I was in the Navy. Our ship had locked at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, and one of my buddies and I went into town for our first liberty in several months.
Ah, so this is Philly. The nice kind of town. You been here before?
Oh, sure, lots of times. How do you suppose I was able to get the dates for us tonight? Boy, will you meet Helen. You'll like her.
Oh, boy, after this last cruise, I'll enjoy any blind date.
Well, don't get excited. We still got a couple of hours to kill. They don't finish work until 5 o'clock.
Hey, we can spend the afternoon by... What are you stopping for? What's that, a church?
No, that's Independence Hall. That's where the Declaration of Independence was signed.
No kidding. Hey, you know, come to think of it, I remember reading about it in school. Isn't that where the bell is, the Liberty Bell?
Yeah, sure is. Want to go over and see it?
Nah, not now. I think I'll find a drugstore and place a long-distance call home to my mom. You go ahead, and I'll pick you up over there as soon as I'm through.
Golly, it doesn't seem to be anybody around. Oh, there it is. Golly, it's sure big. And those words around the base of it. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and unto the inhabitants thereof. I wonder who wrote that.
It's from the Bible, Leviticus, 25th chapter.
Huh? Well, where'd that voice come from? It sounded like it came from the bell.
Yes, it was I. There doesn't seem to be a guide around, so if there's anything you want to know, just ask me.
Well, thanks very much, Mr. Bell?
Oh, come now. No formality. Just call me Liberty.
Well, thanks, Liberty. But isn't it just a bit unusual for a bell to be talking?
Oh, many things have voices. Haven't you heard of the cry of the press? The murmuring pines, the whispering wind, and me? The voice of Liberty?
Well, I'll bet that July 4th, 1776 was a busy day for you.
July 4th, 1776? Let me think. No, I wasn't busy that day. In fact, I didn't ring at all.
But that's the day the Declaration of Independence was signed. You must have rung.
Well, news didn't get around as fast in those days as it does now. The Declaration of Independence was accepted by final vote on July 4th, but by the time the copies got to the printers and were distributed, it took a few days. We didn't get the news here until July 8th. That was the day of the celebration.
Well, I guess you got a little rest after the revolution, though, huh?
Well, not exactly. Many things happened in the years that followed. There was the death of General Washington. I tolled for the election of Jefferson to the presidency. And then it happened.
Happened? What happened?
I remembered as though it were yesterday. It was on July 8th, exactly 59 years from the date on which I had announced that the Declaration of Independence had been signed. On this day in 1835, I was tolling for the death of Chief Justice John Marshall when suddenly I cracked. They couldn't repair me without destroying what I had come to mean, so they left me as you see me now.
Oh, gee, that's a shame.
Yes and no. I would have liked to have continued on marking the events in our history, but on the other hand, I like to think of myself as a person, one who was born, who spoke, sang, shouted, and fell in the line of duty like any soldier. I like to feel that I'd been given an assignment to proclaim liberty throughout the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof.
Well, you certainly accomplished your mission. You really deserve a rest. I say you earned a little rest.
Hey, I got my call placed and Mom said to say hello. Who are you just talking to? Anybody around?
Oh, I was talking to, Why, I wasn't talking to anyone.
Hey, mate, are you feeling all right? You know, it's bad business to start talking to yourself.
Talking to myself? Was that it? Well, I didn't know what to think. I wanted to tell Jack about it, but how could I? He'd say I had too much sea duty. I thought of all the things the Bella told me, and things I've never known before. And I knew it couldn't have been pure imagination. And yet, well, how would you explain it?
Beautiful. That was a real work of art.
Yes, sir, and that brings to an impressive end another crowded command.
Yep, we had a grand bunch of talent tonight, and that includes Harry Carey Jr., Ed Begley, Raymond Rowe, the inimitable Howard Hotshaw Petrie, and Dick Powell,
And Evelyn, isn't this a beautiful night? Thanks for asking us in, gang. The best of luck, and good night.
Good night. Good night, Evelyn.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.